Have you received His grace? Are you a recipient of the grace of God? Thank God that for some of us know what it means to be a sinner saved by grace. Amen. I want to talk about the intervention of grace. He did everything possible so that no matter how good or how bad we've been, we can cash in. Amen.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
In last week's message, Pastor Brian Grant had us look at some of the problems that beset the early church and the scriptural answer to those problems. This week, in his series of consecutive studies in the book of Acts, Pastor Grant will have us look at the dramatic conversion of the man who would come to have an impact on the church and the Christian faith second only to that of Jesus Christ himself, Saul of Tarsus, later to be known as the Apostle Paul. Please turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 9 as Pastor Grant begins this message entitled, Impacted by Grace. And now, Pastor Brian Grant.
The job interview was almost over when the HR manager asked the young accountant, this young accountant who was fresh out of school, what starting salary were you thinking of? This young man had just finished school. He said, I was thinking in the neighborhood of $150,000 a year, depending on the benefits package. The interviewer said, well, what would you say to a package of 6 weeks vacation, full medical and dental, 25% of salary in a retirement fund, and a new company car every 2 years, say a 5 series BMW. The accountant sat up straight. Whoa, are you kidding? The interviewer replied, of course I'm kidding. But I figured you must have been kidding. Some offers are just too good to be true. But God has made us an amazing offer, and He is not kidding. And my friend, if you're here this morning, I want you to know, and I'm glad to see some visitors, not all of you, identified yourselves, and that's fine. But I'm here to let you know this morning that God has an amazing offer to give to you this morning. God is offering you His grace. And when we fully understand what grace is, we realize that this is the greatest gift we could ever receive. We've been going through the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and this morning we've come to Acts chapter 9, and it introduces us to an amazing story of grace. It's the dramatic account of the conversion of Saul, also known as Paul. And so, by the way, as I go through the message today, sometimes I may say Paul, and sometimes I might say Saul, but just remember, it's the same man the Bible refers to here as Saul, is the same person who later on, particularly after his conversion, is referred to as Paul. Early church had done a survey of the person most likely to miss heaven. I believe Saul would probably have been at the top of the list, most likely to miss heaven. Saul made it his business to terrorize the early church. Acts of the Apostles chapter 8 verse 3 tells us that Saul began to destroy the church. When Stephen was martyred, Saul was there giving his approval. And after that incredible persecution, the Bible tells us, after Stephen was martyred, tremendous persecution broke out against the church, and Saul was right there in the middle of it. And so as we come to Acts chapter 9, the Bible describes breathing out murderous threats against Christians. This guy certainly would have been right at the top of most this heaven. I wonder if I'm speaking to somebody like that. You have so little interest in the things of God that your friends and your relatives think that you're the person most likely to miss heaven. You know, I've met some folks like that, and sometimes almost think they cannot be saved. But my friend, it doesn't matter what folks may say about you, what folks may think about you. I want you to know that God's grace can reach you today. You might be one of those persons who have absolutely no interest in the things of God. In fact, you might be one of those who have mocked Christ. You have nothing good to say about the church. You have nothing good to say about Christians. You would be also high on that pole of the person most likely to miss heaven. But Jesus Christ, because of the grace of God, you can receive his salvation today. Amen? The same God who saved us all, who was terrorizing and destroying the church, the same God is interested in you today. I'm speaking today on this theme, impacted by grace. What is grace? What is the meaning of grace? There are many dimensions to grace, but today we want to focus on God's saving grace. And by the way, grace is much bigger than we will ever talk about this morning. But this morning, I want to talk to you about God's saving grace. And grace is the unmerited favor of God towards men and women. The unmerited favor of God towards men and women. It is God. Listen, grace is God moving heaven and earth to save sinners who could not lift a finger to save themselves. Do you hear that? There is absolutely nothing we could possibly do to save ourselves. But God, in his mercy and his grace, he did everything possible so that no matter how good or how bad we've been, we can cash in. Amen? Have you received his grace? Are you a recipient of the grace of God? Thank God that for some of us know what it means to be a sinner saved by grace. Amen? But I want to talk, secondly, about the intervention of grace. The intervention of grace. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 20 and 21, the Apostle Paul, this same Saul, is now telling us in Romans 5, 20, he said, where sin abounds, grace does what? Does much more abound. Did you hear what I'm saying to you? The Apostle Paul says, where sin abounds, much more abound. Here's what that is letting me know. That God, there is never a person who could sin so badly that God will turn his back away from them. God's grace, listen, young person, older person, it doesn't matter what you have done, how bad you have been. I want you to know that God's grace will never turn his back on you, because there's no one that could sin so badly that God would turn his back on them. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. God's grace can be applied to your life today. But let's see what happened in the case of Saul. How did God's grace intervene in Saul's life? And if you have your Bible, turn with me to Acts of the Apostles chapter 9. And the word of God says there, and let me just read from verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out threats against people. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogue in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way. And by the way, as we go through the gospel, the book of the Acts of the Apostles, we'll soon get to the point where the disciples were finally called Christians. You see, today, we know us as Christians, and you're wondering, why were they called the Way? Well, they hadn't been called Christians yet. It took a while before people realized, wow, these people are living just like Jesus. They are Christ's ones. They are Christians, Christ's ones. But right now, they were called the Way. These disciples were following the way. The Lord Jesus, who had said, I am the way. They were following the way. And so, if he found here, to the way, take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And the Bible says, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Saul and his band, he saw a light from heaven. Saul saw a light from heaven. Saul and his band were on their way to Damascus. Suddenly a light from heaven flashed and knocked him to the ground. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 26, by the way, if you go through the Acts of the Apostles, you'll find that occasionally he refers back to the same encounter. But in Acts 26, we're not going to turn there yet, we will later on. Saul tells us that although it was midday when this scene happened, this light flashed on him, it happened at midday. But Paul tells us in Acts 26, the light was so bright, he said it was brighter than the sun. Saul had been in the presence of the divine Lord. The glory of God had appeared to Saul in this incredible brightness. God's grace had intervened in Saul's life, and he knocked him to the ground. Thank God for divine interventions. Amen.
We invite you to join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. as we go through a sermon series based on the book of Acts. This series is entitled Pentecostal Power, Lessons from the Early Church. The messages coincide with the television series AD on NBC. These studies will explore the epic journey of the first followers of Christ who, through the power given at Pentecost, changed the world. Come and discover how these lessons learned from the early church can change our lives today. For further information, please call our church office at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. And now back to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Do you know that divine interventions are happening every single day? Every single day, the Spirit of God is coming and He's speaking to individuals. He's intervening, and God wants to intervene in somebody's life today. There might be a young person, a teenager here this morning, or an older person, and God wants to intervene in your life. The problem is some people are looking for this light from heaven. I speak to people sometimes and they say, how comes you haven't received Jesus? You've heard the gospel over and over. They said, we're still waiting for, I haven't seen a light from heaven yet. Can I give you some late breaking news? I haven't seen it. In fact, if you wait for that light from heaven that Paul saw, you might be waiting a mighty long time. But I want you to know that God still intervenes with a light from heaven. It's the light of the gospel. God's good news that Jesus Christ died for our sin. Listen, my friend, this is what the Bible refers to the gospel as the light of the gospel. God is still sending His light. The light that Jesus died for your sins, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day. That is the light of the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 tell us something, though, about this light of the gospel. And the word of God tells us there, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see what? The light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ. Listen, this gospel displays the glory of Christ. When you are confronted and you open your heart to the gospel of Christ, you see the glory of God. You get to see God, how holy He is. And when you see how holy God is, you begin to recognize how sinful you are and in need of this incredible Savior. But the apostle says, listen, if a gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are lost. I wonder if there's somebody here and you have not yet seen the light of the glorious God. The Bible is, if that's your situation, the reason why it's being veiled is because the God of this age. And by the way, sometimes you read the Bible and you think that the God of this age is talking about the Almighty God. No, it's not. If you notice, if you go, it's in a lowercase g. It's not God Almighty. It's talking about the devil. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel. But oh, we are praying this morning, young person, older person, we are praying this morning that as you have come into God's house, the Spirit of God will remove the veils. Would you pray with me, Christian friend? Would you pray that that person who might be in the bench beside you or behind you, who might not know Jesus, pray that the Spirit of God might remove the veils and the light of this gospel might shine in unto them. It has blinded the mind of unbelievers. The problem is not with God. If you end up in hell, don't blame God. The problem is not with God. The problem is not with the light. The problem is that we allow the devil's veil to keep us from seeing the light. Are you getting it? God has sent us his light, and the problem is we allow the devil to veil the light. But did Saul see a light from heaven? Saul heard a call from God. Amen. Saul heard a call. After Paul was knocked to the ground, he heard a voice from heaven. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Jesus was calling to Saul, and he's calling to you today. Let's look at what Paul said, or Saul said, when he met with King Agrippa in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26. As he recounts this same story, let's see what he says there in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26. And I'm going to read you from verses 12 to 15, as we see there one or two little details that we might not see here in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9. And Acts of the Apostles 26, verse 12. On one of those journeys, Paul says to King Agrippa, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, O king, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Or as some of your Bibles say, and as I, as a teenager or youngster, as I was growing up, I used the version that said, it is hard for you to kick against the pricks. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks or to prick against the goads. And so I wondered, I have been saying this all my life, what in the world are these goads or these pricks? You see, goads were typically made from slender pieces of timber. They were blunt on one side and they were pointed on the other. So you have a blunt side that you can hold, and you got a pointed side, a thin piece of timber, and it's pointed. And what the farmer would do, he is trying to get that stubborn ox to go forward. Do you know what he would do? He would give him a little jab. And so the average ox getting the little jab would lose his stubbornness. But do you know, occasionally, you had a really stubborn ox, and he's sticking him with the pricks or with the goads, and the stubborn ox is, this is not a reflex action. I better not swing because my knees aren't so great. But you can understand, the stubborn ox is kicking what? He's kicking back. I ain't going nowhere. Boom! And so guess what would happen? The farmer has the goad, and he's right there sticking him. And when the ox kicks back. The goat actually pierces through his flesh. He's inflicting more pain on himself as he's kicking back at the goat. And the Jesus says to Paul, Paul, Saul, it is hard for you to kick against the goats. I'm going to say something that might surprise you. We normally think that Saul was converted in one appearance from God. But I get from this that the Lord had actually been working on Saul, and Saul had been kicking against the goats. Saul was there. Stephen was being martyred. What an experience. Saul was there when this young man, his face shone like an angel. Saul was there when, with stones ricocheting off of his head, this young man, the follower of the way, this young man said, Lord, please don't hold this sin against them. And Saul was there. I believe he was sensing the prodding, the prick from the Savior as the Spirit of God prodded him to come, to turn. But what did Saul do? Saul didn't turn. Saul kicked against the prick. Saul got even worse. And so by the time you get to Acts chapter 9, Saul is breathing murderous fire from his mouth. I'm going to get them. I wonder if you realize that sometimes the person who seems most hostile to the gospel, don't miss this, might be the person that is on the brink of a decision because they are kicking against the pricks. There's somebody here, I believe, kicking against the pricks. The Spirit of God has time and time prompted you and saying, yes, it's your time. Yes, you need to come to Jesus. Yes, you need to say yes to the Savior. And I believe there's somebody here this morning that despite the pricking and the prodding of the Spirit of God, despite the entreaty of your parents and your Sunday school teachers and others, despite the drama in your life, as God tries to bring you to salvation, I believe there's somebody here who continues to kick against the pricks. And I want you to remember the Master. Jesus is saying to you, sir, madam, young person, he's saying to you, it is hard to keep kicking against the pricks. Kicking against the pricks is hurtful and it is futile. It's not getting you anywhere. You need to come to Jesus. And the same Savior who shed his light on Saul has shed his light on you, and the same Savior who called Saul is calling you. And the Bible says that this Savior is now calling men everywhere to repent. And that's the word for you and for me, male or female. He's calling to you, and he's calling you to repent, to turn from your sin and to turn to him and to say, Lord Jesus, won't you come into my heart? Won't you come into my life? A call from God. Would you trust him today? Would you stop kicking? Would you give up struggling? Would you give up your fighting and surrender to him?
Thanks so much for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550 or by visiting our website, gcafamilychurch.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, This is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.